I tested the internet speed today and it was like between like 55 and 60. And I was like, oh, okay, oof, good.
That's quick.
That's a speedy boy.
That's a speedy boy. That's little Speedy Gonzalez, the fastest mouse in all of Mexico.
The fastest internet mouse.
As we all know, the internet, powered by mice, which is why cats succeed on it.
Yeah. There you go. I never knew. Are we recording? Did you record that?
Yeah, no, that's recorded. That's our cold open. I can't think of an actual cold open for this.
I was going to ask if you had one, but no.
No.
Well, this
the
is
only cold
shift,
open is a cold case, because that's what this crime will be.
It's
no body, no crime.
I think he did it, but I just can't prove it. I think he did it, but I just can't prove it. I think he did it, but I just can't prove it. No, no body, no crime.
So Taylor Swift has once again confirmed my suspicion that she shouldn't release the first album of any new genre she's trying because it's always bad and she does much better on the second one.
Is this your way of telling me that you like Folklore? I mean, not Folklore, the other one?
Evermore?
The second one?
Yeah. I don't hate Evermore because Folklore, only one song I like. Evermore, at least three song I like. Yeah. So that's that's triple success rate.
Listeners may not remember, but we were on the fence about Folklore.
Yeah.
On the fence.
On the fence, climbing into the paddock of fuck this shit.
I don't know. I had a marvelous time ruining that album.
The fence we were on was electric and it was powered by our rage.
But okay, so we like Evermore.
Okay, yeah, no, I like Willow because there's the version where it's John Mulaney saying, "That's my wife," instead of "That's my man."
That's my wife.
Okay, confession, that's the only song on the album that I've heard, and I've only heard that version. I have not listened.
Wait, you didn't even listen to Nobody, No Crime to Break? No, okay, you got to go listen to it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, we're going to pause the podcast.
All right.
One Taylor Swift song later.
Okay, I do get how this is better than Folklore.
Yeah, because it's committed to being like country folk. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it also, it's closer to like old.
Yeah, Taylor. So I have a theory that like if Taylor Swift hadn't pivoted to pop, she would have written this song about 10 years ago. Like she would be onto her murder ballads, like stage of country, and the world would be a better place. Mm. So the boating license. Can we talk about the boating license?
Sure, hit me with it.
Okay, you can get a boating license at 12 in Australia because
is that what you did, Taylor?
You bet I got a boating license at 12. So what I'm saying is, Taylor, it's not a flex. Like, it's literally not a flex. Why would you include this in your song? Involving a boat in murder sounds difficult. Like, I've had to go round some circles to explain why there's a boat involved in this murder.
I don't know. I mean, if you do a murder on a boat, that's...
Then it's in international waters.
Yeah.
All waters are international waters if you believe in the sovereignty of boat.
It's the law of the sea.
Yeah.
One. But also, like, you don't have to get the body to water to dispose of it. You've got the body and then you're next to the, like, you're right on the water. You just dump in the middle of the ocean and you're like, dunno.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I'll pay that. I'll respect that.
Or you like tempt a shark and the shark, and the shark eats your cheating husband.
You tempt a shark.
Yeah.
What an expression. Well, I really tempted the shark with that one.
Yeah, you just, you know, you put some chum in the water,
mm-hmm.
and then you're like, hey, babe, I dropped my sunglasses in the... Hey, just a thing, we haven't introduced this show.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, we forget to do that. I'm Tansy.
I'm Charles.
And this is Pitch Shift. It's a podcast where we turn songs into movies. Also, like...
We haven't done it in a while.
We probably actually need to do the intro on the Taylor Swift ones because they're the ones that people are likely to stumble across not knowing what the fuck this is all about. So you're probably going to have a bad time if you're just here for Taylor.
Yeah, but if you are a big fan of T-Swift, I'm sorry in advance.
I like this song, so she comes off better in this pitch than she has in all our other Taylor Swift ones.
That's okay, because I will not like this song for the pair of us. I did not like it. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, okay, so my job here is to convince you to like this movie.
I feel like I know already that I'm going to like what you are going to do with it.
Oh, thank you.
Because it feels like it's a very, like, that's a song that Tansy would do a pitch to.
Mm.
The lyrics of it, I'm like, yeah, that's a song that Tansy's going to turn into something fucked up and good.
Mm-hmm. So the only thing I need you to know in advance of, like, this pitch
mm-hmm.
is that I do have a director I would want to do it. And, like, ooh. You'll understand more why I'd want this particular director as we go on. But Rian Johnson.
I mean, you're not going to get an argument out of me for that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I love that boy.
We are a Rian Stan podcast. Like,
yeah, we Rian Stan Johnson. we've talked before about the fact that Looper is Rian Johnson's
worst film. Yes.
I rewatched it recently. I hadn't seen it in like years.
Mm.
It was better than I remembered it.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's nowhere like a decent near the standard of his other stuff. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's not Knives Out.
I mean, it's no Brick. It's certainly no Brothers Bloom, but
yeah, it's no Brick. It's no Knife. Just one very, very ugly Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and like probably one of the last roles that it seems like Bruce Willis tried at all for.
I do kind of like though that they went like prosthetic for that, because that was just before de-aging became such a thing. Like...
Oh yeah, if it were de-aging, that would have been. I would be more annoyed by that.
Also it's hilarious just that thing where it's like,
oh, his face has like weird ridges on it.
Gemini Man like had fully been in production hell for 15 years when Looper came out.
Oh my god. Oh, God bless you, Gemini Man. God bless that G Mini Man.
That Genie Manini Man. What a year Will Smith had.
He was the genie and then he was the Gemini.
Well, that's like that was the kind of joke I was trying to make, Charles.
Yeah. And then I pipped you to it. Tables on the other
turn.
Oh no.
Should we pitch this movie?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we're going to open with a series of interviews in a police station, and this is not like a fancy big city like full on one-way mirror. This is a shitty small town police station.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking Australia or
no, we're talking like swampland America. I'm going to say Louisiana cuz I think there's swamps there.
Yeah, there are swamps.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The setting of our very first pitch shift has come back.
Oh, it's come back to haunt us, yeah. Just like the ghosts in most of our pitch shifts.
Just like a goose cat hybrid, it's come back to haunt us.
Honky Cat will have a cameo in this.
This is in the Honky Cat cinematic universe.
So we meet, like, a majority of these first interviews are between Missy, who is, like, young woman, I'm thinking, like, Sydney Sweeney type, so, like...
Mm-hmm.
In her early 20s, but looks significantly younger. So as an audience member, you're like, oh, I don't know how old you are. And that upsets me a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she's being interviewed by the local detective, J.J. Bittenbinder.
Street smart.
Yes.
Played by John Mulaney.
Okay. Shut up. You're all going to die.
He was a big city Chicago cop who retired and like couldn't handle being retired. So now he works at the local police station. And then you have the local beat cop, Colin, who is played by the chess cowboy from Queen's Gambit.
Uh-huh. That's what's that actor's name again?
Thomas Brody Sandwich?
Sandwich? Sandwich. It's Sandwich.
Yes. Little Sandwich Boy. Yeah. And
the kid from Love Actually.
Yeah. But unlike Missy, where everyone's like, I don't know how old you are and that unsettles me, everyone just assumes Colin is a child. They always think that mm-hmm. he's like work experience, even though he's like in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
So we work out through the course of this interview that Missy is being interviewed about her missing husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, came home 2 days ago. His truck was gone. She just thought he was out, but he has not come home since.
Ooh.
And the cops have since found the husband's car dumped in the swamp. And it was, like, fully wiped down. No DNA, no fingerprints. Like, beyond... Like, nothing left of the husband in there. So it was, like, wiped down. It wasn't just that there was no one else. Yeah, it's too clean. No sign of a body. And Missy is like, these cops think I had something to do with it. She's really defensive. She's really like, well, you know, it's your job to work this stuff out. Why are you asking me all the questions? Like, very on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And J.J. Bittenbinder, in the course of this interview... brings up her husband's missing ex-wife, Esty. Mm-hmm. And Missy just goes from, like, uncomfortable to unable to be in this situation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, well, why aren't you talking to Esty's family? Why are you asking me about her? I didn't even know her. Why are you talking to me? So we meet Esty's sister, Danielle.
Wait, also, I just, it just occurred to me that this is also in the Wire cinematic universe.
Yeah.
As in The Wire. If this is the first episode that you've listened to, I did a pitch that was inspired by The Wire, in which the Haim sisters were a Nazi killing secret spy group.
They are not that in this, but they could be
in the future or have been in the past.
Well, I've got Danielle as Beanie Feldstein, so
love it.
Yeah, we'll have to explain how she then became a Nazi killer. Actually, that fits in quite well with what ends up happening. Anyway. Danielle.
You're just like Star Wars Extended Universe.
Yeah. It's Ryan. It's fine. Yeah. So Danielle explains that, like, she was at home. She was playing Settlers of Catan with her friend Taylor Nyo.
Uh-huh.
And the cops are like, wait, Taylor Nyo? How do you know Taylor Nyo? She's like, oh, she's an old friend of mine. How do you know Taylor Nyo? And they're like, oh, she works here. And so they bring in Taylor, who is the cleaner at the station. Like, she's fully in her uniform, like, brings her card in. She assumes they want her to clean the room. And then they're like, take a seat. And she's like, oh, Taylor is Kelly Marie Tran.
Good.
So they ask her, like, what happened the night before, what she was up to, and you get, like, flashback to basically the plot of the song, which is Taylor murdering the husband. So Taylor, like, fully waited out the back of his house with a mask on, like, went to let herself in with a set of spare keys, except the back door wasn't even locked. She finds the husband, like, a little bit drunk, stabs him through the Achilles so he can't escape, puts a plastic bag over his head, suffocates him, rivals him up, takes his truck out, like, wearing his hat so a neighbour thinks that it's still him out driving, drives to the swamps, puts the corpse on a boat, dumps it far from the car, dumps the car somewhere else, and then boats home. Like, it's fully, like, planned. She knows what she's doing, even though she probably hasn't done a murder before.
She's just a planner. She's just a good planner.
Yeah, and she really thoroughly cleans the crime scene and the car, which is why no evidence. So you see, like, that
they're
all
like,
of...
damn, you are so good at cleaning. That makes sense.
So you see, like, all of that in flashback and then back to the interview room and she's just like, oh, I was playing Settlers of Catan with Danielle. And Colin's like, oh, who won? And Taylor's like, I won because I had the most wood, or however, like, Settlers of Catan works. I think you can win if you have the most wood, but...
Something like that. I don't know. One of those games where explaining the rules takes longer than it does to play the game.
Yeah, one of those ones. So anyway, Taylor's like, can I get back to work? Like, I've got to finish vacuuming. And they're like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, they clearly really like Taylor. She's just, like, a nice person who works in the office. And they're all like, yeah, that's Taylor. She's great. So she leaves. And you get, like, JJ Bittenbiter kind of stroking his chin and thinking. And Colin's like, what are you thinking, boss? And JJ Bittenbiter's like, I think we got a serial killer in town.
Shut up. You're all going to die.
And Colin's like, a serial killer? JJ Bittenbiter's like, yeah, we got multiple deaths in the same town with the same MO, no sign of the body. It's so sad. This used to be such a quiet, safe town. Meanwhile, Taylor is getting, like, a panicked visit from Danielle, who's, like, freaking out. And Taylor's like, you need to calm down.
You're being too loud.
But also, like, don't worry, because no body, no crime. And if the cops were useless enough that they couldn't work out that Esty's husband had killed her, then they've got no chance of working out that Taylor killed Esty's husband. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're that incompetent, you're not going to suddenly become competent.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, on the other side of town, Missy is kind of having a similar moment to Danielle, being like, oh, no, the cops know. They definitely know. This is a big problem for me. And also, Missy made the mistake of taking out a big life insurance policy on her ex-husband just before he disappeared. And she doesn't have an alibi because she was at home alone waiting for him to come home. She didn't call the cops when he didn't come home. She looks real suspicious, but she knows she didn't do it. So she makes a call. She needs help. So she calls a real detective. You don't see this guy, you just hear an Irish accent on the other side of the phone.
Oh my God.
Asking if she has the money for this. And she's like, I've got a life insurance policy. If you can find the body and prove I wasn't involved, you can have all of it.
Wow.
And he's like, all right, I'll be there. I'm not going to try to do the Irish accent because it'll be upsetting. Oh, no, you're not. Can I do an Irish accent? All right, I'll be there. No, no, I can't.
I'm waiting to find out which Irish person that you've cast in this role.
So Taylor goes to the police station the next day and she's doing like her cleanup. Actually, you know what? Let's do a show don't tell. So she's doing her cleanup and then suddenly like Colin is like, Taylor. And she's like, yeah. Do you need? And he's like, yeah. So she goes into like the interview room or his desk and there's just like blood everywhere. And she just starts cleaning it up. And he's like, thanks. And she's like, yeah, don't worry about it.
T-Y.
And JJ Bittenbiter walks in and he's talking to this guy and he's sort of showing you around saying like, oh, we're pretty sure we know what's happening. We're pretty sure that there's a serial killer in town. And Taylor's like, serial killer? And Colin's like, I'll talk to you about it later.
Somebody's been murdered.
Murdered. And anyway, JJ Bittenbiter showing them around the office like, anyway, this is Colin. He's the beat cop. And this is Taylor, our cleaner. Taylor, this is Benoit Blanc, the private detective. Revealed yes. Daniel Craig as Benoit this Blanc is... saying, how do you do? I'm Benoit Blanc with an Irish accent. This will never be addressed or explained. Benoit Blanc has an Irish accent in this film.
This is the most perfect thing that you have ever said to me. That this is a stealth sequel to Knives Out.
It is. I'm so glad. I'm glad you like it.
It would, and just if Daniel Craig's performance of an Irish accent occasionally got a little bit like his Foghorn Leghorn accent.
Absolutely. It will get into full caricature and then from, territory.
And then from there get a little bit British and then come all the way back around.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig, I love when he has fun. Yeah. I just love when he has fun.
He has a lot of fun. And
he doesn't
him.
Get to do that when he's Bond. Yeah. But he gets to do that when he's working Blanc. With Rijo.
So Blanc like shakes everyone's hand and like fully recognizing the cleaning product that Taylor is using. He's like, oh yes, I know that. It's very good for getting out blood out of surfaces. Like quick cut of Taylor using the same bleach at the crime scene. And then like in the station, Taylor laughing it off and being like, Colin gets nosebleeds. Anyway, so Benoit Blanc really like plays along with the serial killer theory just to kind of get access. Like JJ Bittenbiter's being like, yeah, you don't worry about it. It's a serial killer. You don't do serial killers, you're a detective.
Mm-hmm.
And Taylor has the very terrible realization that to sell the murder, she's gonna have to kill someone else.
Ooh.
Because if they think it's a serial killer, she needs them to really think it's a serial killer.
Yep.
So we cut to Taylor and Danielle making a list of people in town that they could kill.
It's like, do we go with people who are expendable or people who are like bad people?
So they've narrowed it down to a list of three. There is the well-known local pedophile.
Okay.
The head of the local KKK chapter.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who works at Danielle's work who always pronounces it espresso.
Okay.
And Danielle is kind of looking at the list and being like, it's truly wild that everyone in town knows who's in charge of the KKK, but nothing is done about it. And Taylor's like, yeah, you know, no body, no crime. It's a lack of evidence. Like, town gossip isn't admissible in court. So meanwhile, Benoit Blanc is following like all the tire tracks that led to where the car was dumped.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, damn, that's a deep depression in the tire tracks right near this jetty that none of you noticed.
Just like mine.
And the cops have just never considered that maybe the body was put on a boat and dumped not near the car, like they've just been dredging around the car. So Taylor and Danielle really commit. And they're just like, all right, neo-Nazi? Yeah, neo-Nazi. So they go and kill a neo-Nazi and they try to recreate the same methods that they used on the husband. But because there's two of them, it's a bit confused. Like Danielle's probably pointing out all the inconsistencies as they do it. Like they have to bust open the back door. And then when they're moving the body, they've like both picked it up. And Taylor's like, wait, I had to drag the last one. And Danielle just like drops her end of the body and leaves Taylor to drag it out. Then they're cleaning up, they dump it in the water, like, whole system. They've gotten rid of the body, and Taylor heads back into work to find Benoit Blanc waiting for her.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, hi? And he's like, Oh, I was hoping to talk to you. I understand from the word about the town that you have a boating license. And she's like, yeah, I got it when I was 15. And he's like, excellent. I was hoping you'd take me out on the swamp. I have little faith in Detective Bittenbinder and his investigational talents. So Taylor is out on her shitty dinghy with the detective who's looking for her. And they
Great.
like ride around the local swamps and rivers. And multiple times they pass like the very distinctive tree where Taylor has dumped both the husband and the neo-Nazi that she has killed. And Benoit Blanc kind of goes on this monologue about how he can tell, like, oh, that's a really good fishing spot because it's a fast-running current and it would also be ideal to dump a body.
Yep.
And then suddenly he's dropping a GoPro on a string that Taylor did not know he had down into that exact spot and finds nothing because it's a fast-flowing current spot, so the body is already being carried downstream.
Well, phew.
And Taylor's like, oh, well, nobody, no crime. And Blanc's like, that is absolutely not how it works. At best, that's a misunderstanding of corpus delicti, but really, that's no, that's not at all how it works. But as they're landing, what?
That thing where, like, I know that it's Daniel Craig, but every time you speak as him, I just see Colin Farrell, but like in Bruges Colin Farrell, just like very
Yes.
angry, anxious Colin Farrell. It's not how feckin' the law works.
Let's get Colin Farrell to be Daniel Craig's dialect coach.
Good.
But as they're like, they take the dinghy back in, Blanc's like, well, this was a bit of nothing. Sorry to waste your day. But as they're getting back to the jetty, they see something by the shore in the mud. And they dredge the water near the jetty and they find Esty's body. This is pretty traumatic for Taylor because up until now there's been no confirmation that Esty is dead, but oh boy, is she dead. And like,
Yeah, that's ouch.
and also like, not to draw lines, but she's badly dead. Like she's like quite crudely murdered. Like we don't get a huge number of details, but it's not like there's like the plastic wrap and suffocation. Like this is quite a brutal murder that
She's badly dead.
And JJ Bittenbinder, upon seeing this, is like, I think this was the serial killer's first victim before he learned how to murder the right way. I've seen the Silence of
Right
the
way.
Lambs.
I watched all three seasons of Hannibal on NBC. It was weird. No, I
I
would love.
didn't much care for it.
I would love it though if the first thing that JJ Bittenbinder says is, "She's badly dead. This death is bad."
So anyway, Benoit Blanc clearly not buying any of this. And he's like, Taylor, I was wondering if I could bounce some ideas off you over a game of chess. And Taylor's like, why? And he's like, look, I just really got into the Queen's Gambit. And she's like, oh, me too. Colin? And he's like, yes, Colin. And they just both sit in that moment for a while. And they're like, anyway, so we cut to them playing chess. That is not further discussed,
Cool,
much like
that's
the
fine.
Irish accent. So we cut to them having a game of chess. And Blanc goes into this big monologue about how he was hired to find out why this perfectly normal guy had burnt his house down. And he was able to work out from like renovation bills and grocery bills and photos that this man had found a stain in the carpet that he couldn't clean out. He tried really hard to bleach it, he tried every product, it wouldn't come out. So in the end, he just re-dyed the entire carpet. But because of the amount of bleach and cleaner that he'd soaked into the stain trying to clean it, that patch was still discolored, even when he re-dyed the entire thing. So he ripped out carpet. It was like, fuck it, we'll have floorboards. But the stain had gone into the floorboards from all of the bleach and it still stood out, even after it was sanded and polished. So he covered it with a carpet on, like, you know, a little rug on the polished floorboards, but he still knew the stain was there, even if nobody else did, and it drove him mad. And he ended up burning the whole house down one night just to get rid of this stain.
It's the beating of that infernal heart.
And Taylor's like, interesting. Checkmate. He's just not been paying attention. while he's been monologuing and has just made a bunch
of... That's exactly how it happened in the Queen's Gambit!
Just playing a bunch of bad chess moves. And Blanc is like, you know what, let's play something else. I'm not that good at chess. How about Settlers of Catan? And without thinking, on pure instinct, while she's packing up the chessboard, Taylor just says, oh, you can't play that with two people. Ooh. And Blanc stares at her, and Taylor's like, oh, fuck.
Usually.
And before Blanc can say anything, his phone rings. And the serial killer has struck again, killing the local pedophile while Blanc was in the room with Taylor the entire time. There's no chance she could have done this. And when they dredged, like, the part of the river that they think it'll be on, he probably had, like, an ankle monitor or something so they can track him. They find the husband's body as well. And probably the neo-Nazi too. They're probably all collected in the same bit of the river. And Blanc's like, well, now we've found the body and it definitely wasn't Missy who killed the husband, I can get paid. And Taylor's like, don't you need to stop?
Find who did it?
Stop the serial killer? And Blanc's like, oh no, I think the serial killer is done with this town. I think he's made his point.
What the fuck?
And Taylor's a bit like, all right then, I'm not going to look this gift horse in the mouth and see if it's full of Greek soldiers. So
that's how the phrase goes.
Yeah.
Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth to see whether or not it's full of Greek soldiers. You know, they didn't know that they were looking for maybe it being Greek soldiers in the story.
Yeah, no. I'm aware, but also that's my favorite version of the phrase.
Right, of course. Of course.
So Blanc is like, I'm going to clear out. I'm good. And Taylor kind of keeps a distance for a few days. Danielle is organizing Esty's funeral. And like right before the funeral, Taylor finally has a moment alone with Danielle. And she's like, you cleaned up the scene, right? And Danielle's just like, no. And Taylor's like, what do you mean you didn't clean the scene? And Danielle's like, no, it's not. It wasn't that I didn't clean the scene. He wasn't there. And Taylor's like, excuse me? And Danielle's like, I went to the house. I broke the back door. I had the bag. I had the cleaning equipment. He wasn't there.
Mm.
And Danielle and Taylor realized that the pedophile that Danielle was meant to be killing while Taylor was playing chess with Blanc was not killed by Danielle. He got by the actual serial killer.
By a serial killer. Like, wow, someone's on the same wavelength as us. That's so neat.
So Taylor and Danielle are like, Mr. Blanc, we might need some help, actually. And so they probably, like, called him as he's driving out of town. And he's just like, oh, I thought we all knew that it was Colin. And they're like, excuse me? And he's like, oh, yeah, totally. Like, that guy, like, he's telling you all of the details. Like, he clearly knew that you did it. He's someone who, like, wants to, like, do extrajudicial. I thought we all knew that it was Colin. And they're like, no, we absolutely did not all know that it was Colin.
I love this version of Benoit Blanc just being like, wait, you didn't?
Oh, I thought we all worked that out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you knew.
So they go to find Colin and they, like, as they head into the police station and he's talking to JJ Bittenbinder and Taylor and Danielle lock eyes with him, he just instantly goes, street smarts! And throws his wallet at them and runs.
No, it's a money clip and it's engraved. It's,
yeah. And JJ Bittenbinder can't even find it in himself to run because he taught him that. And goddamn if that's not some street smarts.
He's like, that's how you beat a serial killer. No, he was the serial killer. Ah, darn it.
You probably actually just end on them running after him. Like, you don't really need to see, like, hey, he got caught and it's all okay because it's all been so, like, batshit insane up until now. Yeah, so that's my body, no crime.
That's Ryan Johnson, for the first time. Ryan Johnson, if you're listening, please get in contact with us.
Yeah.
We have many ideas that we think that you should get in on.
Yeah. Ryan, just come hang. Bring Karina.
You gotta get
we
in.
Can all
you
hang
gotta
out.
Ryan, be the third member of this podcast.
Ryan, give us a call.
Seriously, that's great. I love that. I dig that it's that thing of like feeling like everything's like, oh, this is fully moving out of control, and then it just kind of ends. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Pacing? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. It's not that it's just like, it's very fast pacing. It's very like, no, you got to keep up. You got to keep up. It's good.
And obviously in a full version of this, there would be more hints that Colin was actually a serial killer. But I was just like, nah, he gets nosebleeds. That's enough.
Yeah.
Serial killers get nosebleeds.
Yeah, that's yeah. What it is.
Yeah. Should we do a bit of shuffle round?
We should.
Yeah.
Let's do a bit of shuffle.
So
we haven't done this in a little while.
Yeah, for those who don't religiously listen to the podcast, Shuffle Round is a little round at the end of the show where Charlie earns his keep because I did most of the pitching, so he's going to have to come up with three super fast pitches, two songs. Normally we'd go by the same artists, but I think we have to go same album with Tay-Tay.
I was going to say, because otherwise, yeah. You know. Also to clarify, it's not always me doing the shuffle round and Tansy doing the pitch. Sometimes we switch, if you're completely new to this podcast.
I think we should probably start with Willow.
Is that the one?
That's my wife.
Can I listen to the version where he says, that's my wife?
I mean, I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah, see, I really have not listened to this album much at all.
I'm like the water when your ship rolled in that night. Rough on the surface, but you cut through like a knife. And if it was an open shut case, I never would have known from the look on your face. Lost in your current like a priceless wine. The more that you say, the less I know. Wherever you stray, I follow. I'm begging for you to take my hand, wreck my plans.
That's my wife.
Okay. I'm gonna go with a dark take on what kind of sounds like it should be like a slightly more positive song.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you know, the more you say, less I know. Wherever you stray, I follow, etc., etc.
It's about a cult.
Well, what I was gonna say is it's about the protagonist. Kind of, it's from the point of view of the protagonist who starts out fully just like all in on the cult. It's about QAnon. Let's say it's about QAnon.
Oh, QAnon.
And it's a QAnon lady.
I love it.
And it's like, she's like, Q, that's my man. and the Q in this is played by Jake Angeli, the Q shaman.
Stick to the plan. That's my man.
Yeah. The storm is coming. This storm mentioned in at the beginning. It's about this song, Tansy.
It's about QAnon.
I don't want to pill you or anything. Yeah, but like you do, yeah, completely from the point of view of the person who's initially been pilled or swindled.
Mm-hmm.
So you start out thinking it's like, oh, who's this great guy? But like you actually kind of commit to it being like, this person's life is clearly better for having this other person in it. And then you slowly do the flip. So mm-hmm. like, you know, like if mother exclamation point was not bad.
Mother.
Also,
looking at the track listing, Nobody, No Crime is the only song that was written entirely by Taylor Swift.
Wild.
Yeah. What an interesting little tidbit.
There you go. Who helped write Willow? Was it?
It was Aaron Dessner who helped write most of the songs on...
From the sad band, The National.
The National, yeah.
I was like, what's the name of that sad band? Mm. The National.
Yeah, he produced and wrote most of the songs on the album, and it shows.
No Bon Iver on this album?
There is, but I'm not going to make you listen to it.
I mean, you know.
Do you want to?
Yeah, do it. Let's do it.
All right, let's do Evermore.
Is it as bad as... what the fuck's the name of that song?
Exile.
Is it as bad as Exile?
This is the song where she references cats.
Oh no.
Grey November, I've been down since July. Motion capture, put me in a bad light.
That's such a weird dig to make at cats.
Jason Derulo would never.
No, I mean, yeah, he would release a song about how much he loved working on cats, really.
What a joy. Side note, I love that every video essay about cats feels the need to be like, this whole film's garbage, but Kimball Shanks still slaps.
Yeah. That song does slap.
Yeah.
It slaps in 13/8. That's how hard it slaps. Can I pitch a silly?
You absolutely can pitch a silly.
Like deadpan, fully serious, like Coen Brothers-esque kind of like deadpan but inherently ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
A year in the life of Timothy Hooper after having made Cats.
Yes.
And you follow it. So it's that thing where it's like Cats comes out and he's like, oh, yay, it's great. It's, oh, God, everyone hates it. Mm. And then you do him getting hit with the, like, with, you know, the pandemic. So it's a pandemic movie.
Oh, my God.
And he has to just, like, sit inside and he's, like, watching video essays of Cats. And, like, I don't know, like, if you wanted to do it as a slightly more hopeful thing, you could do it as him then over the course of, like, lockdown period, learning how to actually direct a musical. Or it could be, or, like, if you want to go, again, slightly more Coen Brothers, he's like, I'm going to write my own musical.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it me, and then I'm going to be able to do it my way, and no one's going to make video essays telling me that I shouldn't have done the thing that I did on both Les Mis and Cats. Anyway, yeah, so it's him just fully going down a rabbit hole and creating something truly insane, and he should be played by Nicolas Cage in it.
Yes!
Doing, like, Nicolas Cage British accent.
As a director whose latest film was a disaster.
And his hair's, like, that kind of lighter, kind of sandy brown that Tom Hooper's hair is, and he's just, like, yeah, bad British accent, going insane in lockdown, trying to create a musical that no one will be able to make fun of on the internet.
Yes, and I love it.
And we would be, there would only be one cut of this film, and it would be the butthole cut. Where Nicolas Cage, just for no reason, is constantly, like, you know, shirt cocking it. So... It's like, can we get less butt in this? No.
No.
No, this is the butthole cut. Yeah, that's my pitch for Evermore.
I love it. All right, we're going to do one of the other songs on the album that I like, which mm-hmm. is Ivy. And I think I just have a bit of Stockholm Syndrome with this one.
Oh, that's, yeah. The spirit meets the bones in a faith forgotten land. In from the snow, your touch brought forth an incandescent glow, tarnished but so grand. And the old widow goes to the stone every day, but I just sit here and wait, grieving for the living. Oh, goddamn, my pain fits in the palm of your freezing hand, taking mine, but it's been promised to another. Oh, okay, I got it. This is a very weird impressionistic take.
Mm-hmm. It's
on
a
this.
It's a weird impressionistic song.
I do like this song.
Yeah. So, like, for context, I first listened to this because I have a book that I am writing where the lead character is called Ivy, and I was like, oh shit, like, we could use this in the TV series that will inevitably get made out of my book because the main character is called Ivy. And then I listened to it and I was like, oh, this does not at all vibe with the character.
It really does
vibe
with that character.
And I'm a little bit mad now.
How dare you, Taylor? Yeah, okay, so for this, I'm going with... Actually, it could almost be like an animated, like, old-style Disney slash, like, The Last Unicorn watercolor animation kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's ice lesbian and fire lesbian mm-hmm. who are in love with each other and have to learn how to make their relationship work. That's it. It's a relationship drama, but one of them's, like... Because there's all the stuff about, like, your freezing cold hand or whatever it was, and, like, bringing the glow into the cold and stuff like that. So it's, like, yeah, like a relationship drama.
Cute.
But they're both, you know, like, you know, witches or fairies or... It's Winx.
It's
the
Winx.
New, it's the, new, it's the
it's
new
the good
Netflix
Winx.
Winx. I have heard that the new Winx series, Arlo has started watching it. I have heard that it is truly wild.
I can't even summon the energy to hate.
No,
watch
I know.
It. Like,
I know. I,
also,
yeah, my...
the fact that they're all meant to be teenagers, and I'm like, you age between mid-20s to what looks like someone's mom. Like,
yeah.
Whose decision
Good.
Was this?
Good.
Also, I'm sick of, sorry, this is my rant. I'm sick of grim, dark adaptions of classic. Just give me one adaptation of a classic children's cartoon that you've made into a teen thing and make it undeniably goofy. Make it stupid as fuck. Just do it for me. Just make it, just do He-Man, but it's just the adventures of a dumb himbo in, like, modern San Francisco.
And a gay skeleton.
Yes, just do something Like, grimdark isn't fun anymore. It never was fun, but it's not interesting now. Yeah. Just do something dumb and fun. Do you reckon
the Sabrina TV series is grimdark? Because I reckon that's maybe the exception.
I reckon it skates a line, though, where, like, it's dealing with witchcraft, so it does like grimdark, but it also acknowledges how silly it is. Like, the fact that they have Miranda Otto, like, prostrating herself on a couch going, like, for Satan's sake. I'm like, you get it. Like, you get that this is silly. And you're having a good time with how silly it is a lot of the time.
I think that's kind of what I mean, that it's taking, like, darker stuff, which is your witchcraft and your Satan and
but
stuff.
But it doesn't take it seriously.
Like, doing it with levity, as opposed to taking, like, you know...
Silly primary coloured fairies.
We're four teenagers and we have a band and one of us is called Jughead, and turning it into, like, oh, you have the serial killer gene and also we're all doing Fraggle Rock. I know it's called Fizzle Rock. Do not at me.
I'd watch that version of Ivy, and it would be that the plants would grow because they've found equilibrium.
You need hot and cold, and like together, you know, they have a water baby. No, I don't know. That's too trite. It's the kind of thing that, like, you know, it'd be like an animated, like, you know, like a 30-minute kind of short thing.
Yeah.
And it would come out on a streaming platform and just all the gays would be like, have you seen it? Oh, I cried. Have you seen? Oh, I cried. Oh, my God, I couldn't stop crying. And it's like, why? Did something sad happen? It's like, no, it was just beautiful.
Where can people find more of your good shit?
People can find me on Twitter. I am at GirlsOChady. What about you, Tansy?
They can also find me on Twitter at Tansy Clipboard.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're gonna be back.
Yes, not weekly because we have real lives now. But we will. Yeah, we'll be back more regularly in 2021.
Yeah, 2021. We're looking forward to it.
2020 fun.
2020 fun. Yep.
And I'm not sure of the timing because I haven't gone out to buy it yet, and I'm not quite sure of the print cycles, but quite possibly if you buy the big issue at the moment, there's a little review by me. So,
ooh, what'd you review?
I reviewed Come Away, directed by Brenda Chapman, and I liked it a lot more than I expected to.
You didn't review Wonder Woman 1984 or nothing like that?
No, I'm so sorry.
Because I know you would have given that a glowing review.
A friend unironically messaged me being like, how great was it? And I was like, oh, no.
How great was it? None great. None great.
None great is the name of my band.
We are none great.
The only merch is cheese graters and that don't work.
None greater with left cheese. I did it, but she just can't prove it. No, nobody, no crime. I wasn't letting up until the day. No, nobody, no crime. I wasn't letting up. To a day, no, nobody, no crime. I wasn't letting up until the day he died. This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Bidjigal people of the Eora Nation and the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.